Thanks for hanging out with us, tuning in with us, having fun with us. Jackpot Jerry.
Murphy's Law. With me again, my good buddy, Chris Kuhn.
It used to be much easier when we were just talking about barbecue.
Thanks to all of our watchers, all of our subscribers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law. My good buddy, Chris, is joining me as usual. We're going to mix it up a little bit this week. We're going to broaden things out a little bit since things are calming down a little bit with our case. We only have kind of two avenues that we're still going after on that. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but we've had some requests to open it up a little bit into some other topics. And
it seems like it's all done is go over the court case, because there's always been so many different things going on. So it's now finally taking a little pause.
Yeah.
So now we can have fun again.
Well, and I'll say this, I made the joke the other day that I was on the radio doing something, and I've been after this Detroit news reporter the other day on Twitter a little bit, and this radio personality.
Hang on, wait.
To
you going after somebody in social media?
Yeah, I know that's hard
that's
to imagine.
Crazy.
So I just kind of made the joke, I like to kick up the dust a little bit, and this is a good outlet for us to do that, and just throw some opinions out there about some stuff happening, in our state and regionally and pop culture wise and some other things. But, the thing that seemed to happen that was kind of all over social media partly yesterday and the day before was all these inaugurations. we've got the dynamic quadruplets, if you will, that were all over. We've got Gretchen Whitmer, Dana Nessel, Jocelyn Benson, and of course Garland Gilchrist had to sneak himself in there somehow.
Second tour of the shit show.
Yeah, it's identity politics on display, in my opinion. But it was just very interesting to see a lot of these incumbents. To me, when I'm looking and I'm scrolling through Twitter and social media, and I just see all of these things, and they all are saying the same thing. I'm so excited to get Michigan moving forward. But when I see them by the same people, like a Debbie Stabenow and these other people, they've been in politics in this state for so long.
They've been in DC longer than they've been in Michigan.
Right.
I mean, do you really think she's in touch with the voters or constituents?
I don't believe so, whatsoever, but
I still can't understand how we as a state put those people back in office for another 4 years. It's crazy.
I've been really looking into this because so many people have said that same thing to me. And it's like, how did this happen? And, because we've been reminding people of what they've done to restaurants and, everybody else. But from our point of view, mainly restaurants. Right. So people always are asking, how did we allow this to happen again? And what I'm finding out through talking to people and reading some of the things and comments that are now coming about, it just, it was disarray. But ultimately, what I think it was is the independents, right?
Mm-hmm.
The independents broke away. They didn't necessarily vote party line. If they were an independent that was kind of caucusing with Republicans in the past, they didn't necessarily do that. They didn't vote all the way down party. So that's what I'm reading, is that the independents and probably libertarians, because there's a little bit of a gray area there, those independents kind of broke away from the Republicans and broke towards the Democrats. And I think it's mainly because of, the abortion stuff.
I think that's true. I think there's a lot of people also that didn't vote. A lot of people that we both know that didn't vote because they didn't like either candidate. And unfortunately, the GOP didn't put forth the best options. There wasn't really just a runaway candidate, which, no offense to Tudor Dixon, but each one of the candidates, back when there was five, all came out and made a crucial mistake and announced their personal stance on abortion.
Yeah.
I mean, when that was the hottest topic out there, the RV Wade, that was, to me, I think, like political suicide.
Yeah.
To get that deep into it instead of just leaving it alone. And by the time that, Tudor Dixon was able to clarify what her view was, it was too late. People had already made up their mind and just didn't vote. I mean, I heard, even like my daughter, her first time being eligible to vote, chose not to, which, kind of broke my heart, but I can see where she's coming from. She's like, I don't want either one of them.
Yeah. I mean, that is a choice. That is an option. And I don't want to get too far off onto it, but there are crazy instances where they are encouraging in other countries, they are encouraging people to not vote. Mainly the young kids.
I mean, that's what
as a campaign, do not vote, because they found studies, polling indications, if they go after a certain segment of the population, in this particular instance I'm referring to, it was young kids like your daughter that was coming into the age of voting, right? 18 to 23 roughly, and they basically were sowing disenfranchisement amongst them and to get them to not vote. My vote doesn't count. Why am I going to do so?
Well, and all the disinformation out there.
Right.
I mean, how many times have we said that? Since when is it okay for a political ad just to be full of lies? Yeah. And it's acceptable. And you know what happens is, unfortunately, as we've talked about, with a lack of civics being taught in school, so many people just believe whatever they see with their lying eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't matter how wrong it might be, they just, nobody researched anything.
So here we are, with another 4 years of basically the same administration that we've had for the last 4 years. And they're all saying the same thing. We can't wait to get Michigan moving forward. I'm so excited for the next 4 years. And I just keep saying to these people, what have you been doing the last 4 years? Why are you just now getting into first gear or second gear, whatever? You've had 4 years, and I don't want to hear anything about a pandemic or any of this other BS, because it's totally false.
Well, how are the roads?
Oh, terrible.
I mean, that was a campaign promise.
Oh, somebody brought up to me the things. Are they really going to build a section of the roadway downstate to charge electric vehicles? Like, nothing could be more Michigan dumbass than that. I love this state, but that's just stupid.
That's just dumb. It's a waste of money.
Electric vehicles in Michigan are a terrible idea to begin with. If the recent snowstorm didn't teach anybody anything, we had a Tesla out here on Main Street in Gaylord that got stranded.
Yep. You know, I saw one at Meijer yesterday, and I cracked my ass up because I'm like, okay, the guy's on his phone, so he's going to be disappointed when he finds out we don't have Uber up here. So he's got to leave his car at Meijer to charge. And here's the thing, like when Ford launched the first hybrid vehicle, which was the Ford Escape, I believe in 2002, I remember going to that class, and they said that two things that dramatically affect performance of an electric vehicle are extreme temperature changes and hilly terrain. Fucking look around us.
Yeah, right.
Temperature changes.
Exactly.
I mean, from, you know, 15 degrees to 45, 50 degrees one day, and you're not going to find a stretch of road without hills. So
I think it's fair to say that they have a place, right?
Definitely.
There is a time and a place for electric vehicles. In winter weather, I don't think so. In rainy, wet climates, I don't think so. In hilly areas where you're trying to, you know, the new push to get a lot of these trucks, semis, into electric vehicles, it's just not going to work in Michigan.
No,
it's just not going to work. And they need to get over the fact and realize that, and I'm not saying that, you know, we got to run down, you know, combustible engines to the end of time, but
oh, we were developing some great hybrid technology and have some great hybrid technology.
Electric is just not the way to go. Oh. Say anything you will about it, but batteries are only storing energy.
Yep.
Right. And where are they drawing that energy from when they're charging their Tesla?
From traditional coal plants.
I just can't get
fossil fuel plants.
The point being is, here we are, right, with basically the same leadership. Now they have even more power because they have a blank check, right?
Yep.
In Michigan, they control.
They
both.
Have no stop.
Right. So they can advance whatever agenda that they've wanted. So, and they basically have in the last few years, anyways. In my opinion, the Republicans in this state have not done a great job.
No, they gave Whitmer way too much power, and it did not. They did not stand up and hold the line like they were supposed to.
No. I mean, including our own local representative as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different story.
But,
you know, something else that happened too, which you and I have been talking about this. We had kind of a sketchy appointee to the Michigan Supreme Court, which was sketchy to say the least. So, what was her name? Bolden Harris?
Kyra Harris Bolden.
Yeah. So this is a justice that Whitmer appointed, who lost in the election in November, not second place, took third place in the election, lost her bid in the election to be appointed to the Supreme Court. And Whitmer says, fuck it, I'm appointing you anyway, because it's about time. And like digging into it, she's 34 years old, because I wonder just how much experience she had, because she looked young. at best, if you follow the timeline,
such an ageist.
Yeah, if you look at her timeline between a bachelor's degree and her law degree, that leaves only about 2.5, maybe 3 years that she might have actually been available to practice civil litigation.
Mm-hmm.
And that qualifies her for the Supreme Court. That's pretty damn scary.
It, you know, normally I don't pay attention to such things, but because we are in front of the Supreme Court, have been in front of the Supreme Court, hopefully we will be back in front of the Supreme Court again. Oh, Tim Meadows, what a joke.
Yeah, we pay more attention to it than the average person. All of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, who the hell is this person?
Where? I'm trying to find. There's some interesting pictures in here about that whole situation. I thought it was pretty close on her feed, but it, apparently it's not. But anyway, this is an interesting situation because you look at some of the comments that come from Democrats when it comes to U.S. Supreme Court nominees.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's all identity politics to them. That's all it's been for the last couple of days all over social media for them. When you look at the policies that they're actually trying to put forth, their clean energy initiatives, their electric vehicle initiatives, a lot of things are geared towards helping low-income wage earners, those types of things. And it just, you know, it's we're going to be California 2.0.
Well, and, you know, I find that ironic. They keep pushing this clean energy initiative.
There's no bigger bullshit. Well, there's plenty of bigger bullshits, but this is a huge bullshit. Clean energy.
Well, the cleanest, safest form of energy available right now, they won't allow the use of. Nuclear power plants are the cleanest and safest form of power, but we keep shutting them down. We won't allow them. There's too many regulations, too many restrictions. And meanwhile, we wonder why energy is getting so expensive. We can't rely on windmills and fucking solar panels. I mean, that's just not practical.
No.
And like the EVs, you know,
again, it has its place, but it's a place of a broader, you know, when they're talking about like the COVID stuff.
Yeah.
No, well, you have to do this. Well, it's not just one thing that's going to solve it. It's all these things layered together. Well, they need to put that same logic into play when they're talking about energy policy. It's not one, it's a combination of, and I'm sorry, but windmills and solar panels ain't going to get it done.
No, that's just not going to happen.
We have the largest natural fresh bodies of water on the planet right around us. And why aren't we looking into any technology to harness any of that?
You know, between the water, you got hydrogen power, you got nuclear power.
Yeah.
They've got all these alternatives that they just won't look at because it's not fitting their model.
If you want to talk about clean energy, let's talk about something like that. Because we know windmills are garbage,
mm-hmm.
right? Anybody that knows how to use Google can figure out exactly how much oil it takes, the waste from the propellers, all of that stupid crap.
Well, you can take a drive down 127 and see how attractive they are too.
When
you
get down around Mount Pleasant area. Talk about solar panels and the energy that's used that goes into making solar panels versus the energy that comes out of them versus the energy and time it takes to maintain. And then we're going to talk about the real estate requirement.
We'll talk about the toxicity, the toxicity of the panels themselves.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for, you know, putting, you know, little wind turbine generators up on top of buildings. Great.
Yeah.
Give me a subsidy for that. I'd be all right doing something like that. We've got great wind. You know, we've got a 3-4.5 story building right here downtown.
Well, and
incentivize also that program. Don't incentivize electric vehicles and then outlaw them in 2025, California, you dumbass.
Yeah, and immediately after you start,
or whatever it is, thinking the praise of 2025, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it was just a couple months ago that their governor was on the electric EV bandwagon.
Yeah.
And then like 2 days later told everybody not to charge their EVs.
Yeah. Just stupid.
Which admitting that the grid can't handle it, which, you know, people can't answer the simplest of questions when it comes down to, okay, if we have electric vehicles, when are we going to charge them? At night, right?
Right.
When do you use most of our electricity? At night with your lights on?
Yeah.
What happens if every one of us plug our damn things at the same time?
Oh, yeah, it'd be chaos.
It'd be nuts. There's not enough power in the grid to handle it. Not to mention, guess what what powers the plants? Fossil fuels. They're just dumbasses. But, you know, like we talk about COVID and so many other things, this logic doesn't appeal to them.
They're convenient talking points for simple minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might sound a little bit rough, but that's my opinion. right? When you harness language the way that progressives have, Democrats, whoever wants to buy into some of these things like social democracy and livable wage and some of these other terms that they're just using to completely try and reframe an argument. But at the end of the day, it's the same old word. They just feel better about, you know, social justice reform versus criminal justice. You know what I mean? It's like, just
it goes on. To how far detached from reality they
right
are.
Immigrants and, you know, the war on language is something else that will, I'm sure, will be a common theme that we'll be talking about. But I just thought it was really interesting to see all the nonsense and BS yesterday from the same old actors that we've seen for years.
Same old actors saying the same old shit.
Yeah. And I don't think that anything's going to change, except they're just going to be more radical and maybe even a little bit more overt in the way that they're going to go about doing some of these things. A little more brazen, maybe.
And at least when the Republicans had the House, I mean, they had control over the purse strings a little bit, which, you know, we're seeing it go the opposite way nationally with Republicans taking control of the House.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here in Michigan, we lost it, which means Hitler's got her own blank checkbook.
I haven't done enough digging into the issue going on with the Speaker of the House right now, with the whole Kevin McCarthy.
That's funny shit.
And the Freedom Caucus people or whatever's going on. So I've been just kind of skimming the surface a lot of it, but I find it interesting. So there's one statistic that's out there that this is the first time that the House has been in session, but not nominated a speaker.
Because nobody else
in 50 years.
Yeah, nobody else can be sworn in until they declare a speaker.
Right. So
all I care about, Pelosi's out.
I haven't gone back to look and see, you know, 50 years ago. Well, you know, it sounds like a long time, but when you start doing the math now, it's really actually not that long ago. But the circumstances last time that when it happened. But this is, if you look at all of the rhetoric from all three sides, because, to be honest, it's three-sided, mm-hmm. right? Because there's Democrats who's just sitting there just laughing. And some of them actually, a lot of them are boasting.
Yeah, Biden's calling them embarrassing.
We can have an argument or a discussion about, hopefully not an argument, a discussion about whether or not they should or shouldn't be doing that and whether that's a good look or not, fine, whatever. Then there's the majority of the Republicans in the House that are voting for McCarthy to be the next speaker. And my understanding is he's sort of the next one to be anointed, right? Because it's kind of a seniority type thing. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, you've had him and McConnell have been in the driver's seat of the GOP for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, and people are just tired of it.
And it seems to me the way it's being framed is sort of establishment Republicans versus anti-establishment or Freedom Caucus MAGA Republicans. Is that?
Oh yeah, that term. Yeah, the MAGA Republicans.
But I mean, is that really what these, whatever there is now, maybe 18 of them? I think it started with like 9 or so.
It's just under 20. I know that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And now they're trying to ask those members to vote present next time.
So I heard that. And at last look, fifth vote was a no for McCarthy, right?
Yep, fifth time around. Just about half hour ago, I think.
So this provides an interesting, by the way, this is Dave Landau. That's our good buddy, Dave. This is actually a preview for a YouTube little special that he did. It's actually hilarious. Big shout out to our buddy, Dave. Where the hell was I? Oh, so what's interesting to watch is in this whole conversation that's happening right now over the last, now day and a half, by the time this all gets said and done, the conversations that are happening. Oh, it's an embarrassment to our own party. Oh, it's an embarrassment to U.S. politics. Oh, look at, you know, the Republicans can't get their shit together.
It's a whole point.
They can't govern. Not even on the first day, they can't come together to do anything. I look at this as a little bit different point of view. I think back of when the union was formed and how many different political parties there were back then. There obviously were the two major parties, but there were dozens of others. Mm-hmm. And there are still other parties at play right now, although none of them have...
They don't have a voice.
They don't have any... I mean, the libertarians barely have a voice. And maybe some of this will change that. I doubt it. But What I actually see happening is we always encourage coalition government. When we go in and we bomb the shit out of somebody and we replace their government, that's the thing that we try to do is, hey, factions of religious organizations, put aside your differences and come together.
Find your common ground.
Right. And then on each individual issue, you're going to have to figure out those people, whether they're from a left or a right or a green or a yellow or whatever it happens to be. They've got to find enough people to make that thing popular to move it through the parliamentary procedure, right?
Yep.
And that's what's happening here, right?
Yeah.
So we're so two-partied that you start to see a small fraction within another party that is now you can disagree with them, you can agree with them. That's not my point. What I am interested to see is how these people interact with each other in order to elect a leader, right? In my opinion, this is actually a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the way that they're going about it, especially with social media and the cameras in your face and the hyperbole, and you know, you watch ding-dongs like Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the things that are coming out of these people's mouths, it's not helping.
No, and you know, the sad thing is that the extreme left and or right, that it's the 5% on each of the far end is what you're seeing and hearing on social media and television on a regular basis.
Yeah.
The average everyday people, like we talk about so many times, you don't hear their voice because they're not being radical. They're not screaming. They're not demanding the megaphone.
Right.
That's just the nut jobs on both sides. And unfortunately, that's where people are getting their information from. And the media as well spin stuff in the direction. And, you know, we made, I think it was a few episodes back, where we were talking about the fact that news is no longer news anymore.
Yeah.
People don't watch the news for news. They watch a network to validate their own opinion.
Right.
And they find, whether it's Fox or CNN or MSNBC, they find the one that suits their mindset and keeps them angry.
Yeah. The other thing, right, exactly.
It keeps them angry.
Exactly. The other thing that I've been seeing is, more of this, you know, I guess I'll just call it like peer pressure.
Yeah, agree with
similar, me. Similar to, you know, the COVID stuff. It's kind of like you're not a patriot. I'm a patriot. I'm voting for, and this is the ridiculous thing, is they both are calling themselves patriots, and they're both saying, well, you're not, because you're not voting for this person that I'm voting for. It's like the most idiotic exercise in simple-mindedness.
Well, and that comes back to democracy versus republic. They want a democracy, which again is that they're going to force their way down your throat, damned what you think or what your opinion is. It's their way, and they're going to shove it down your throat and make you do it. Versus the republic that we were formed, where, wait a minute, it's got to go through a system of checks and balances, go through elected officials, and meet the constitutional requirements.
Right.
Which is the way it should be. These people these 20 people that are digressing and not voting for McCarthy, that's why they're there.
Yeah.
I think that's why their voters put them there, because they knew they didn't want the same old shit.
Yeah.
And I, for one, I don't want to see the same old shit again either.
No,
it's the good old boys party, and it always has been.
And that's the interesting part too. When I talk about peer pressure, is some of those people are kind of saying, how dare you, you know, the establishment has gotten you where you are. And they're kind of saying that as, you know, a flex. And a lot of us are like, that's not the flex you think it is.
No.
Like, we want something different. They want something different. Obviously, the people that are not voting for that guy.
Well, McCarthy looks like every other damn establishment Republican.
I won't disagree with that either.
If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck.
I don't necessarily have a horse in this race, so to speak. I'm more interested to see how the procedure plays out, because again, it is sort of it's obviously a once in 50 year thing. And I'm not quite 50 years old, but what I don't see happening is I don't see the reference to the previous instances where this may have happened.
Yeah, they haven't talked about that.
Maybe it's only once in 100 years, And it happened to be back in 1972 or 1971 or whatever it was.
Well, these guys have always had a flair for the dramatic.
But I want to know about that a little, and I haven't really looked back to see exactly what that was. But
think about the filibusters and the showing of the pizzas getting delivered and the cats getting rolled out and just all the theatrics. It's just ridiculous shit.
Yeah, the dolly of pizzas going into Harvey's.
We're not leaving until this is done.
Matt Gaetz, I really can't stand that dude, but whatever. You know, he wrote a letter to one of the offices in Congress and saying that Kevin McCarthy is squatting in the speaker's office right now because he's already basically taken up residence in the speaker's office. Like, it's petty.
Yeah, it is.
You're on the same team.
I'm surprised Nancy got packed up and out of there so quick.
Well, I am too, considering she'd been there for so friggin' long. But I share the sentiment, and at least she's gone. Yeah. So there is that. But in the wake, let's not allow I shouldn't say let's, because that would include me in that class. They need to get their act together, whatever that looks like, because if they're not careful, a Democrat's going to end up getting elected, because that could happen.
Yeah,
there is the possibility that a Democrat could get elected in the House, and everything that the Republicans had fought for to get that majority, to get those 218, wiped out. And then they're kind of back to square one, if you will. But that has been really interesting to watch, and we'll continue to watch this, obviously. Because as of right now, they don't have anything. And this is actually saying may adjourn until Thursday. No, that can't even, because that's the fourth vote. They've already done five votes, so that's probably old news.
Well, and at this point, they're looking for an excuse to like break the session so they can get around and start working their backroom deals and try to bully people and blackmail them and lobby them. Same old Washington bullshit.
I'd love to talk about Twitter and some of the shit that's coming out from Twitter, but what I really want to see is the Fauci stuff. I'm just scrolling past this thing about Adam Schiff. Well, I don't really want to get into that, but it sure is interesting to see the lobbying to social media groups, even just this one social media company, for dialing back and blocking and censoring not just reporters, but
yeah, laying it on everybody.
Like, holy moly.
I mean, how many, even recently, you know, on Facebook, how many people have we seen lately that have gotten thrown into Facebook jail and don't know why?
Right.
You know, people that aren't radical, they're not outspoken, they just, holy shit, I'm blocked and I have no idea why. No, I could see us getting blocked. That would make total sense, but
yeah, I have been blocked, and we've been purposefully downgraded quite a bit in the last 2 years. A lot of that comes from the user side, not so much the algorithm or the company. Now, is there or was there? Probably. But I know for a fact that I was personally restricted and blocked mainly because of user discontent. We'll just say it like that.
Imagine that. It's hard to imagine.
Oh, God, I'm the worst person ever. But Michigan's douchiest business owner right here, according to one fantastic Facebook commenter.
Oh, and you have some great fans out there, too.
We
need to plan another year episode too.
I was saying 3.0.
Yeah, I have a feeling more are gonna come around here pretty soon too. One of the other things I want to talk about is, you know, we saw a crazy situation that I don't think that I have seen. I've seen some hockey things. I'm sure you have too, mm-hmm. as a hockey player. But in the game of football, where somebody is tackled or takes a hit. And we've seen some scary things over the years at all levels in football. But the other night with DeMar Hamlin going down very suddenly, I'll be honest, and you can be mad at me if you want, but my frame of mind automatically went to, I mean, he's a young guy.
24.
And
the best shape of his life.
I couldn't, like I said, you'd be mad at me for this. My immediate thought was that it had something to do with a vaccine or a booster or something like that. Now, the reason why I went straight to that is because I've been reading a lot of things about young athletes and especially young men.
Well, and the cardio, having, the link to cardiomyopathy.
Well, having a fair amount of cardiac incidents all the way around. I had a young man that worked for me back in 2021. About 10 days after receiving his vaccine, he was in the hospital with some heart issues. And he's a very healthy young man. You know, he worked in our coffee shop. You know, at best, he could have been taking, you know, too many shots of caffeine or something. But
we both know people, a lot of people that have died without explanation.
Yeah.
After getting vaccinated.
So, unfortunately, that's immediately what I thought of was, you know, that situation right there. A lot of people have been lambasted on social media for immediately suggesting things like that. I can understand them being upset.
Well, I can too, because, you know, the alternative theory just doesn't hold water. I mean, they're saying that the impact from the helmet, that sudden hard impact, caused the heart attack. Which it does happen in baseball,
yeah,
and hockey.
It happened to Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what year it was now, but yeah, I mean, he had he was back on the ice playing 2-3 days later.
Well, but you think about the difference between a baseball and a hockey puck and this player's helmet hitting the chest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference. You're talking about a hockey puck and baseball, relatively the same size, traveling the velocities of 100 miles an hour. That's a hell of an impact.
Yeah.
In a small space versus a helmet traveling at what speed? Hitting a foot shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're talking apples and oranges. I don't understand how a helmet is
going to draw
so hard cause a heart attack.
He hopped right up. And in my opinion, by looking at it, it looks like taunt might not be the right word, but you know how football players are. When they make a great tackle, the first thing they want to do is hop right up and celebrate. Either stand over them or celebrate in some sort of way without, you know, getting a flag thrown. And that is exactly what it looked like to me, that he was, you know, he made the tackle, hopped right up and was, you know, going to basically celebrate. And I have had some issues with epilepsy. I've had issues here in the restaurant where I've just gone down, like right in the middle of a conversation, just boom, just right down. I'm not suggesting he's epileptic. What I'm saying is I know the feeling of those lights basically just kind of going out. Like it almost looked like he stood up too quick and then just passed.
Like
right
it looked like you got lightheaded and just kind of.
To me, the impact of the hit. Can you find that? The impact of the hit didn't impact his lungs.
Yeah, if it would have been that hard, you would expect him to be laid out for a while.
Now, Ray, we're talking about a heart condition, but the impact of the hit obviously was very directed. It just didn't look to me like the hit was that hard. I know it doesn't have to be that hard for some of these things to happen. I get that. But the whole thing just looks really, really suspicious.
Well, and they had to use the defibrillator twice on
that. Yeah. At the, I can't get it to work. There we go. Yeah, they resuscitated him on the field and then they resuscitated him again.
It's just too much
at the hospital.
Because this is a guy that's in the prime of his life, 24 years of age, the best physical condition anybody could possibly be in.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my understanding, no chronic health issues.
Right.
The only thing that I'm with you came to mind, which obviously people know how we view the vaccine, if you want to call it that.
I think. Nope, there he goes.
Yep.
Boom.
Jumped up.
I think I have seen a post from his personal doctor that he received a booster 6-8 days ago now.
There's one about a doctor
And he said that he passed physically.
What we just witnessed tonight is one of the most rare things we can see in sports medicine. As DeMar Hamlin went down with
whatever. And you watch right here, he wraps him up.
After taking this hit.
So the impact wasn't even directly to his chest.
Right.
Suter, and on this channel, I try to teach you about the sports medicine world and give you some insight into what we see on the field. What we saw happen tonight is not related to any sort of vaccines. This is almost certainly something called commotio.
See, there we go again. They're trying to control narrative, which, you know, I was listening to some talk shows earlier today that hopefully, with the family's blessing, the doctors can release a statement soon saying exactly what it was and what caused it. Because right now it's just all speculation. But
I'm going to say there won't be any definitive. I mean, they'll say that it was whatever, myocarditis or something, right? But we know that there are a bunch of side effects from vaccines and boosters.
A lot.
Especially right.
In that
that's fair to say, right? Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't get banned for saying that there are a lot of side effects.
Really be hitting those people, you know, the 15 to 25, 15 to 30.
So let's take a step back from this. Ask the question, like myself, when I kind of went right to that. Why? Why are people going right to that assumption of it being a vaccine injury?
There's already such distrust. They lost it. I mean, with Fauci's misinformation and the bullshit stories and lies that we had to hear about the vaccine for the past couple of years.
Is there a rise in heart-related issues among young men that are vaccinated? I believe there is.
I believe so too. I don't have the stats, but these weren't issues you ever heard about before.
There is a documentary, I believe it's on YouTube. It's called Died Suddenly, that talks about some of these things. And I don't want it to be the vaccine any more than any. I mean, the really crazy thing is there kind of are people that actually want it to be the vaccine.
Yeah.
Which that's actually pretty disgusting.
No, that's pretty sick. That's demented. But you look at that hit.
Yeah.
And we all watch a lot of sports. That hit, per se, wasn't a hit. He wrapped up the receiver and wrestled him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That impact, I would say, is a 2 on a scale.
26 years old? Is that how old
24.
He is? 24. 24. She's 24.
Versus how many times have we seen somebody get flat out, laid out,
yeah,
knocked flat on their back, head over heels, and just pancaked?
Right.
And hockey and football.
Go back in that game and see how many hits were harder before that.
How many times quarterbacks just get cranked.
And we can say that it's not relative because everybody's different. Fine. Great. I'm just saying from that right there, I don't know. It is very, very, very suspect.
And we're not doctors, nor do we claim to be.
No.
We're lawyers.
But again, stepping back, why are people automatically thinking that it's a vaccine injury? Because there are things going on that cannot be explained, or people are not explaining. Well, some people are attempting to, but they're sort of being silenced, we know. Silenced. You know, Twitter was obviously silencing a lot of vaccine skeptics, lot of COVID skeptics. A lot of information has come out about the lab leak theory. A lot of information has come out about the sort of incestuous relationship with Fauci and his wife as the head of ethics. Those types of things, I think, all lead into people having that thought that here is a young man, 24 years of age, arguably in his prime, playing at one of the most brutal games at the highest level possible.
Who gets treated regularly.
And they have a team doctor. Gets way better medical treatment than a lot of other people, presumably. How does this type of thing happen?
Yeah, with no history.
And what happens moving forward, right? The game. Somebody basically died on the field, right? Yep. They had to resuscitate him. They had to bring a dude back to life on an NFL field.
And the immediate concern goes to, what are they going to do with the game?
But now they have to have, now they have to have considerations, right? So if you're in the NBA, if you're in the NHL, and you're a commissioner, or you're, you know, vice president of player safety and whatever, whatever idiotic name they have for somebody like that, how are you not now putting a plan into place for something like this to happen, where you have to stop a game midway?
Well, and that's
whether it's even an injury or if it's the Superdome collapses.
You have a responsibility.
Isn't in existence anymore, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, you have a responsibility for contingency, because you do have, you look at the NFL, you've got the last regular season game coming up this weekend, and the playoffs are already scheduled out.
Do you think these announcers, their companies are now issuing guidelines for something like this happens?
What you can and can't say?
They probably are.
Probably.
They shouldn't be, but they should be giving suggestions on what to say. I'm seeing one announcer, offered prayer live on air.
Well,
and for a country that hates prayer, in my opinion, at a national level, for a game and individuals that kneel and refuse to do these other things and blah blah blah, one of the most woke
things ever. Black Lives Matter and the pick a knee protest.
I find it very interesting that here's an individual that offers a prayer on live TV, and of course there are people that are coming after him too. But
well, and Skip Bayless has taken a whole lot of shit for his comment, which was basically asking, you know, what's going to happen with the game? What are they going to postpone it?
Yeah,
cancel? Where are we going? And Shannon Sharp, unjustly jumped his ass.
I wasn't surprised when I first read that. You know, people are jumping all over Skip Bayless for comments. Skip Bayless he's a moron. I'm not a Skip fan, so I'm like, at first my reaction was, I'm not surprised this guy, you know, he flies off at the mouth. I'm surprised he, you know, hasn't used the N-word on air at this point. I'm not saying it's racist. I'm just saying he makes gaffes and. Say what you will.
But I really don't think this was necessarily one of them.
I don't either. What I'm saying is it didn't surprise me. Then when I went back and actually read his comment, read his tweet, and then subsequent tweets after that, I'm reading, it was like, you know, people are going to interpret it. People are in such a hurry to be heard.
Yeah. Outrage culture.
Yeah. Over and over and over. They just want somebody to look at and say, oh, what the hell is wrong with you, Skip?
Yeah, Shannon Sharp's confession, like, too soon to be asking that question. No, not really, because I bet you there's a whole lot of people in those stands asking the same thing. Like, okay, now what happens? Now what?
Right. Hence my question. These people now are getting directives on how to control these things moving forward, because it now is a very good possibility this is going to happen again. It's happened a lot in the collegiate level.
Yeah, and there's, you know, now we're into armchair quarterbacking at this point.
Yeah.
Because how many times have we watched games where the stoppage in play, team doc comes out, the cart comes out, they haul somebody off the field. We don't realize at the time the severity of what's going on.
Right.
When we're just watching the game, especially if you happen to be in attendance at the game and don't have the privilege of watching the replays over and over again, mm-hmm. you're wondering what the hell, who rolled an ankle?
Right.
Who broke their leg?
Yeah.
You know, was hand wrist. So, I mean, I don't fault somebody for immediately asking the question of, okay, and now what? Because you trust that the athlete's in the best hands possible. We know they're in the best hands possible. Because as you said, they get better treatment than most of us.
That's what happens when people with low emotional IQ, again, my opinion, with people with low emotional IQ will want to immediately jump to something like that.
Unfortunately, those people can also vote.
When you really can't ask simple, logical questions, without having somebody jump down your throat, you know, I mean, it really is just, I don't want to get into a free speech thing, but it's just kind of like, you know, I mean, it's a legitimate question, and you can say that it may have been ill-timed under the way that you thought perceived him as saying, but that's actually not what he was saying.
No,
but you went ahead and assumed something for him, and then you're mad at him because you assumed incorrectly. You know, I mean, it's I always joke about the hamster wheel, right?
Yeah, you framed it to fit your emotional state.
Yeah.
By getting upset by that tweet, you framed it because you were already feeling that way. You just change the whole fucking thing around, which is what these people have continued to do on all aspects.
It's that hamster wheel. I got to get in that hamster wheel of emotion and spin it around. And when somebody else doesn't do it, they'll figure out a way to spin it for themselves.
Shine the attention on me for fighting for what's right.
I do have to say that I do sometimes enjoy, you know, when we have some random people stop by our social media and try and kick up some dust a little bit. A, they must not know who we are. And B, it is a little bit fun to, you know, watch the entire arc of their emotion go from cockiness, you know, all the way around to, you know, I have this meme stored in my phone and something that goes along the lines of like, before you block me or ban me, inbox me and let me know what the last straw was just so I can use that one again.
And it's so funny. Yeah. They're all so predictable too. They go through that same
cycle. They are predictable.
And eventually get to the point where they all just go silent and just fall off.
Yeah. I have a feeling, so it kind of leads
you. You had a special kind of stalker last week though.
Yeah. Yeah, he commented again the other day. Yeah. I don't actually have the energy for that dude. I kind of, it would be interesting to have him on, but I don't know that.
He's cuckoo.
He's definitely.
He's had his Fauci flakes.
Cuckoo for something. Something's happened. I mean, he's allegedly is on our side. He's still kind of attacking us, which really just makes it even weirder. But the next thing that I kind of wanted to talk about and sort of relevant to my industry and you know, when we're talking about the same old people in our state just got reelected. Back in 2018, there was a petition drive to raise the minimum wage here in Michigan. Trying to think of what the original language looked like, but it was supposed to gradually raise the minimum wage, which needs to be raised in Michigan. Raise the tip credit wage, but ultimately it was going to remove or is going to remove the tip credit wage, which is the lower wage that front of the house, waitstaff, bartenders, those types of service employees compensate
for tips.
That make tips, right? Subsidized by the customer. They are going to remove that, a la California, and I think Washington or Oregon, or maybe both, for several reasons. And then also, it is also forgotten in this conversation that they are now going to be requiring 10 days of paid sick leave, mandatory per employee, which I'm sure there are a lot of industries that is very welcomed. And I'm not saying that it's not in our industry, but from an ownership point of view, let me just say this. There is a lot of absenteeism in the hospitality industry. There really is, whether it's at McDonald's, whether it's at the Iron Pig, whether it's at a resort, it doesn't matter.
It's pretty
carefully. There is, when you look at turnover, when you look at absenteeism, those types of things, unfortunately, our industry is riddled with those types of people.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not mutually exclusive to the restaurant business,
it's just more prevalent.
It just happens to be. And in my opinion, it's not getting any better with the COVID stuff that came around, and a lot of more people are not even coming back into the workforce. So what's happening is the minimum wage is raising here in Michigan, already raised January 1st, to I think 10.10 and then 3.95 or something for the tip credit. What's going to be happening in February 19th, 20th, right around there, is it's going to leap up to 12 something an hour, and the tip credit is going to go from sub $4 to 11.10 or 11.12, something like that,
which is immediately going to affect not only restaurant owners and operators, but the waitresses, servers, bartenders as well. Because what's right. going to happen is your consumer is going to say, well, you're already getting paid $15 an hour, why the hell should I give you a tip?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to raise your prices because you're paying more in labor.
Right.
So nobody really wins in the situation.
Except for those that are looking for a livable wage.
Yep.
Because they've bought into the notion that $12 an hour is a livable wage.
What reality?
Total nonsense. Nonsense.
And you're also, I think you're going to see a decrease in customer service, because if you have now servers and bartenders that don't have to be nice to get their money.
This is my biggest argument against the entire thing, right? So obviously I'm slightly biased, but people don't know really that my bias is neutral, right? I'm an owner, but my wife works in our restaurant. She gets paid that tip credit. She gets paid in tips. So it does affect my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an owner. So I understand the burden it now puts on our equation for business, right? Every business has their equation to make money, their profit model. Restaurant industries all work on the basically the exact same principle of thirds, more or less. And what's left over is our profit, usually less than 10%.
Well, and if you want to know how well this works, take a look at Canada. We both know Windsor. I mean, in Canada, they typically don't tip
right
their servers and wait staff because it's known they're getting paid a higher wage.
They don't in Europe. I mean, the United States is kind of an exclusive club of tipping when you go out to eat.
You know, and the same gentleman we're talking about, we got an argument about carryout because he refuses to tip on carryout. Because his thought is, why should I tip? They're not doing anything.
Right.
Well, they're still packaging your food. They're putting your condiments in. They're still doing something. But that's what happens when you start paying them more is people are going to tip less.
Right.
And I know your staff, and you're happy to say that, you know, on a busy weekend, your servers can make $30, $40 an hour.
Mm-hmm. The industry average is over $30 an hour.
And that's going to cut this in half.
And it's what they are telling me, the experts that do the studies and have other case studies to look at, is it will be essentially cutting their wage in half.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because of confusion with the consumer.
Yeah.
And disenfranchisement plays a lot into that. So when somebody is used to coming, let's say, come to the Iron Pig for a $10 burger, Thirsty Thursdays, $10 burger and beer.
Shameless plug.
You come in for a $10 burger, and come March, it's now $13 for that same burger. I'm not saying that the Iron Pig is going to do, but by and large, the statistics are saying several things are going to happen. Hours are going to be reduced. Businesses will probably go out of business because they can no longer afford the higher wage for front of the house. Hours will be reduced. Menu prices will increase, and layoffs.
Yeah.
In lieu of those changes.
You can schedule people less hours.
Yeah. We will most likely have, we, and I say the industry as a large, and probably as particularly here at the Pig as well, because we have a relatively small staff comparatively. You know, we've got a 100-seat restaurant, but we don't, you know, we'll have two cooks in our kitchen, three cooks.
You won't be able to have 99-cent wings.
That's ultimately where it's going, right? And the disenfranchisement comes from several things. Customer seeing higher prices, customer seeing portions reduced, which everybody's already seeing. Go to McDonald's, yeah. And the, you know, the Big Mac is not what it used to be.
I know, and it's, you know,
the bag of
bucks.
Chips is not what it used to be. So it's shrinkflation. It's inflation in the menu price. And then it is also going to be lack of customer service because
they don't have to be.
I say it all the time. It's based on merit. It's a meritocracy, the way that we have it set up right now. It's the cheapest way to get into business for yourself is to go work at a restaurant, be a bartender, be a server, because you can make your own money based on your performance.
Well,
if you're a grump and a grouch, you're probably not going to make as much as somebody that is nice, is there, willing, waiting, doing whatever you need.
So in my industry, we learned early in the career that you are a maverick because you're one of the few professions you get paid exactly what you're worth.
Right.
You get paid exactly what you're worth because your income depends on how well you treat the customer.
Sure.
And how well you master
like commission based.
Yeah.
Relatively, right?
Yeah. You know, if somebody's buying a car,
that's what people don't understand.
You or not.
Yeah. The other part is, then I take such issue with this, but it is a societal thing as well. They look down on bartenders and waiters and waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, service industry professionals, by and large, people sort of look down on, right? I think that plays a big part when we're talking about a petition to raise the minimum wage and the fight for 15 and all these other things, it's taking this group of people and you're saying, you can't do well enough for you. I'm going to come in and save the day and I'm going to elevate your wage for you, because you either don't have a skill set to get more dollars per hour, or you don't have access to education to get more dollars per hour, any number of things.
Well, but we need to make, as a country, not just with this, but we need to get to, you know, be in a merit-based society again. Because what happens is, from servers and bartenders all the way up to doctors and attorneys, if they don't have to perform and are rewarded based on their merit, there's no reason for them to exceed. And next thing you know, we get shitty servers, shitty doctors, shitty lawyers, because they're not held to a higher standard anymore.
Yeah.
So the quality of care goes down for everybody. The quality of attention goes down.
To me, this is, I wouldn't say the end game, but it looks, this to me is the certain outcome from the everyone gets a trophy generation, right? When there is no reward for good behavior, the dog's going to piss in the house.
And then next thing you know, you have pickup grocery orders. The whole world goes to hell.
I kind of like, I don't have pickup. I have delivery grocery orders. But see, I'm spoiled with that, because we, you know, we get all of our groceries here in the restaurant. Like all of our food for the restaurant comes right to the back door, goes down to the elevator.
Load up your bag on the way home.
No, I'm not even saying that. What I'm just saying is, we've just extrapolated
that out. We're talking about food costs going up.
We just extrapolated that out to home delivery from Meijer. Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, that is a pure function of people being locked in their homes and still needing groceries.
All I know is I hate you sons of bitches, because there are so many of those Walmart carts getting pushed around.
There are almost more shipped shoppers.
Creates more jobs.
Than there are, well, I mean, you know, they're not at
the cashier. But you know what I hate worse than that is you assholes that won't put your cart away. You are a horrible human. You are a horrible fucking human if you can't bother to put your cart away.
That is a microcosm. I always say this. It is a microcosm of self-governance, right?
Yeah.
Because you know that putting the cart back in its corral is the right thing to do. You know it's the right thing to do. You know it's the right thing to do. You're not required to do so, but you know that it's the right thing to do. And the outcomes from that are always awfully interesting to see. You know, I'm a people watcher, and I find it fascinating. You know, we have plenty of parking lots around this town, and there are plenty of, winter too, so that just makes it even.
I love it when they do it right in front of me, because you know I'm that asshole. They leave their cart right by the door, get in their car, shut the door. I immediately jump out.
You should be an honorary cart narc.
Cart narc.
Go to cartnarc.com if you haven't. It's sure. Hilarious. They have. These guys that videotape themselves going around, mainly in like California, Arizona, and Texas, and they kind of bust people that don't
put their cart away,
turn their carts. Oh, and they have little magnets, and they have little flags, and they have like magnets that they'll throw in the car, and like, I'm a lazy bones or something like that.
I know I'm going on guns.
They have terms for like people that, you know, will set the cart up on the curb so it doesn't blow away. Like, oh, we curbed it. He's a curber, you know, whatever it is.
I know what website I'm going to when we get inventory.
It's very funny. Look them up on Facebook.
Another funny one is the people of Walmart.
That's been long-standing hilarious.
That's always. If you don't believe the good Lord had a sense of humor, go to Walmart on the weekends.
Walmart at night.
I think Walmart should have a bar. I think there should be like two-way glass in the upper lounge where you just sit and get shit-faced and watch people.
I wrote a song partially to Bob Marley's We Jammin'. Called Pajamin, and it's all about wearing your pajamas to Walmart. No, I'm not going to sing it right now.
No, there'll be a special.
That's for some other time. The last thing I want to talk about real quick before we wrap it up for today is just a quick update on what we have going on here with the pig and the lawsuit.
Class action lawsuit, baby.
Since that's sort of the reason why we kind of started this whole crazy thing. Right now, as we sit here, I actually haven't checked recently, but the information is rolling in for the class action lawsuit.
And Marlena signed up.
Marlena's Bistro signed up as well.
That's great shit.
The interesting thing too is that we're finding that other people as well want to get involved that aren't necessarily in the restaurant business. You know, we had somebody today inquire about them as an individual if they could join a lawsuit because they had loss of income from not being able to go to work because they were an essential worker. And that's a whole separate case.
I was saying, as we've touched on, I mean, it's when we encourage people to sign up, it was anybody affected by the shutdowns, which goes so much further than just the restaurant industry.
So
because like you and I have talked, it affected car dealerships, dealerships of all kinds. It affected real estate sales. It affected groceries. I mean, it affected absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it affected everyone's income. My income was affected just as much as yours was.
Yeah. My income really wasn't that affected because we had our best year, which I don't say that to gloat. I say that to gloat to some of the assholes that want to
haters.
I should say other restaurant owners.
Yeah, we did our part. Can't believe you didn't do yours.
And your part didn't do jack shit. So, that's an ironic thing. But I mean,
the real reason I say that is because when it happens again, not if, when it happens again, people need to know. You know, really, all it takes is for one person to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's kind of the whole point of why we've, you know, done the podcast, why I take interviews, why I'm on the radio. If nothing else comes from this, if our lawsuit fails, if the Supreme Court sticks it in our ass, at least people know. Now, you know, I just had a conversation with one of my food vendors, you know, with the rise in this subvariant of Omicron. Could they shut restaurants down again? Blah 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 blah. And I think that they can. Is it likely? Probably not. But is it a possibility? Absolutely.
Absolutely. And until this gets settled at the Supreme Court, whether it's constitutional or not, I mean, because obviously it's still currently is unconstitutional. But the government's doing it anyway in nursing homes to this very day. And the whole point of this in the lawsuit was not ever for money. It's to make sure that it doesn't happen next time.
Right.
And the ruling in this case is going to be used in states across the country.
Yep.
Because once precedent is actually set by a Supreme Court, that's unlock.
They also know. So, yeah. Yeah. My point really when saying that we had our best year in 2021, our second best year was 2022. Our third best year was 2019 before this. I mean, so we've been on just the steady rocket to the moon. But my ultimate point is that people need to know that it's okay to stand up for what you believe is right. And it is okay to question the government. And I've argued it's our fundamental duty. I hate that word. And right.
I thought you hated literally.
Duty. I do hate literally. Thanks for making me say it. So, it's okay in this day and age
when
people are coming down and saying, you can't do this. You have to stay in your home. You have to do this. You need a permission slip to go to work. If you're
you have to ask
worker.
Why
it's okay to question that shit. Yeah. It's okay. And people might be mad at you. Family members might be mad at you because you did or you didn't get a jab. What's or you do thing? Or don't wear a mask.
All that is required for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. And that's not a sexist comment. Insert he, she.
Did Einstein say that? I forget who said that.
Somebody smarter than us said that.
It probably wasn't Einstein, but either way, that's the point. Is moving forward, regardless of what happens with all this other stuff, we have won. We have shown that it is okay, and it is worth to keep your business open when you're questioning things like this. We never once put anybody in harm's way. On purpose. That was what was being alleged the entire time for the last 2.5 years, basically.
That was in the emergency in the order.
Even the Liquor Commission. The Liquor Commission, we fought them because the language in that law says condition on the premises. They admitted, their attorneys admitted in court, there was never COVID on the premise. There had been no contact tracing. Therefore, that whole Liquor Commission thing should have never even happened.
Well, and the irony is there are spies that sent in here weren't wearing masks. That was the funniest shit. I mean, they would send spies in here. I guess you have to blend in with locals and not wear a mask. But I mean,
the glass spyglass thing was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, too. You talk about those outrage warriors, other restaurant owners. They're giving you shit because you're like, you're only so busy because you're the only option people have. You're not playing fair because you're open. You're allowing people to come in. Well, again, we've said time and time again, you had the same choice to make. They could have done it themselves.
How were you the only one that could stay open? No. You could have stayed open, but you didn't.
But here's the other thing. The reason that you've
had such a very specific conversation.
Yeah. But like the other part of the success for the past couple of years was you attracted a certain type of mindsetted person.
True.
That traveled in some cases from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And all assets of the aspects of the state in the Midwest.
Just like all asses of the state.
All asses of the state. Just to come here because of the fight for.
Yeah.
Not against. Yeah. To show support for. So it wasn't even just the fact that you're the only one open, but dudes with man buns and fidget spinners weren't coming in here.
Right. Right.
Okay. They weren't playing hacky sack. That's not the mindset of the people that were coming in here to support the fight for.
Right.
So it's there's
which,
more
which ironically, those people that you just mentioned used to be the anti-establishment, anti-government type of folk.
And they still are.
They are following the edicts to the letter and have no problem telling everybody else what a good person they are and how terrible you are because I'm doing my part and how dare you? I stayed at home. I put a mask on. I've got shots. I got all these things. I don't pick my nose and put my fingers in my eye.
Man, I'm thinking
I've done everything right. Why can't you do one simple thing?
You're part of the problem.
That is so gross. And I've taken issue with that ever since probably May, June of 2020, when we started seeing people leaving reviews. I walked in and immediately turned around because I saw somebody not wearing a mask.
All the gaslighting.
So silly. So silly. Anyways, so where we're at with the class action is we're still collecting a lot of information. Anybody that feels like they could jump out. So like this person that individually wanted to jump in, I said, hey, send in your information. What we're going to do is we're going to classify these things. Say if we've got liquor license holders, 50 of them, and 50 restaurants that don't have liquor license, or 50 gyms or whatever, or 50 just gyms, businesses,
or grocery stores, or
businesses that have some sign of sight,
retail operations,
anything.
So break it down into categories.
So we want to try and create the best class that has the closest similarities, right? The problem with us is, we have such a unique situation. In court language, they call it prima facie.
Prima facie, face value.
Right. Well, at first glance is what I'm trying to get at. I'm terrible at Latin. But that our case is unlike any that has been seen before. Just like the certified questions case, in Midwest Health, Carl the Barber's case, all these other crazy things. Even Marlena's nonsense that she went through. This ain't Burger King. There's nothing else quite like our case, right? And it was designed that way. We took that fight specifically. So the other thing that we're looking at is taking, let's say, these 50 bar and restaurants that had fines or violations from the Liquor Commission, MDARD, Health Department, whatever. And we take that class. What could potentially happen if we are the lead plaintiff in that case, the judge, when going to certify, so what they'll do is they'll take those 50 people and they'll look at and see if they all have relatively the same situation. There's a bunch of things they have to qualify, but the easiest way to say is, are they all the same?
Right.
They could say the Iron Pig case is drastically different than Marlena's case, for example. Or there's a bar not too far away and over in Hillman that sent me the same letter that I received saying the Liquor Commission was giving up the violation. The judge could say, well, I'm not going to certify this class because the Iron Pig has this litany of things over here. And these folks, these 25 or 50
have a license,
have only a fraction of that.
And, you know, as folks get online and sign up, I mean, this could potentially turn into four or five different class lawsuits.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have here's your gym owners, here's your restaurants in general, here's your restaurants that
right.
were fined and lost license, here's your restaurants that were closed. So it could turn into 4 or 5 or 10 different class action lawsuits.
Right.
So, I mean, anybody, I would encourage anybody.
It could turn in, it could turn into no.
It could turn into nothing.
It could turn into nothing because the judge could turn around and basically decertify the class for any number mm-hmm. of reasons that they feel. But the point is you take the best group that you can and you go to the judge and you say, these folks, these named individuals have these damages caused by X.
Directly.
We want you to directly address this issue. And then they'll say, yes, this group of 30, 50, 100, 400 all have legitimate damages. They all have relatively the same case. Now, what can happen is they can leave the class open, right? We can certify these 20 or however many people we get. We are over 60 people signed up right now. What can happen is they can turn around and say, basically what we want to do is separate or get one good class, right?
The best class, the best option.
Then we go forward and say, yes, it is. No, it isn't. We turn around and get a new class. If he decertifies, we get a certified class moving forward. And then we make our argument. The other trick on that is there's an appeal, right? We talked about this before in previous episodes that T&V Catering has an appeal from the Court of Claims, which is where this case would be filed, Court of Claims. Court of Claims has the T&V case, which is on appeal. That's the other reason why we want to try and get a lawsuit in as quick as we can before the Court of Appeals comes in with a ruling.
And obviously, we all know once it gets that ruling comes in, that's still going to go to the Supreme Court no matter what.
They'll ask for that. They'll attempt to get that appeal as a published ruling. But as soon as it gets appealed, my understanding is it will not be a published ruling because it's on appeal. Once that happens, the Supreme Court could decide to bind our two cases together. So I believe we have until January 23rd with our Michigan Supreme Court brief. So we'll set aside the class action lawsuit, right? That's post what's happening right now. What is still ongoing is I think we have till the 23rd of January to submit our Supreme Court brief. They have heard, they have seen some of the arguments in our case. Several other parties have chimed in with their arguments in favor of them hearing our case and in favor of Judge Hunter's ruling. Whether or not they submit any more briefs or not doesn't matter. What we're hoping for is that the Michigan Supreme Court will decide to hear our case because of this other opposite ruling coming out.
Which is what the state's
going to
hinge on all the bets on.
It's going to create a little bit of confusion. Yep. So if the Supreme Court does its job, they can either take our one case or they can bind the two together and issue basically one ruling.
Which, you know, there's part of me that thinks the state does not want the Supreme Court to hear this case, which could factor into why they dropped and put all their eggs into
this
the T&V and Associates.
This is the great thing about separation of powers, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what
they want.
The executive branch wants, right? The state, as you say, doesn't matter what they want. Now, we both know that there are backroom discussions.
Yep.
And people talk and people Shady leak fit. Information and clerks talk to clerks and have beers with other clerks or whatever it is. If a Supreme Court brief can, United States Supreme Court brief can get
which
leaked.
Which isn't weird. They still have not been able to find out who it was.
I know. I'm not surprised in that either. Oh, they probably lynched that person. So anyway, so that's where we are with the class action. We're still collecting information. If you want to join or if you want to support, right? Because these things are not cheap to put together, right? Going through all this information takes time. If you want to join the lawsuit as a named individual, or you want to support the lawsuit monetarily, go to fight4michigan.com, fight4michigan.com. There's a lot of information there, a lot of stuff about our entire background of the story and how you can purchase what we call a fuel pass, which is an NFT-backed membership. And it gets you a lot of things, a ton of things, actually. Discounts here in the restaurant, like a hoodie, backstage passes to
the events,
like Fuel Fest that's coming up. in the springtime or summer. We haven't set a date yet. Already. I know. But the cool thing is it actually gets you. So when we go to Sue, the NFT gets you a portion of the winnings. So if you're not an individual that thinks that you can join the class action, but want to support the class action, this is the way to do it as well.
Buy yourself an NFT. Right?
Buy yourself an NFT. You get tons of discounts, you get online discounts. That's the way to support it. Joining it, there's an online questionnaire. It comes right into my email inbox. Nobody else gets to see that information. It will not be sold. We won't remarket anything to you. It will be strictly for the purposes of reaching out to you. And what we are planning on, we don't have a date set right now, because so much of this stuff is coming through so fast. But what we're planning on doing is sending out a Zoom link so we can get everybody together on the same page and have some discussions. Because I really actually want to talk to some of these other business owners and restaurant owners. And you know, I've heard a couple of stories. I've listened to and seen the emotion on their face. I want to hear what else is going on. I think the media has done a terrible job of telling this story.
Oh, hell
yeah. Not just because, you know, we're at the forefront of it. I've done enough interviews. I want to hear the people that have closed, right? I want to hear from those. We know restaurateurs that are now out of business.
Right across the street.
Too. Right across the street. I mean, I think there were six of them in Otsego.
Yeah, we lost six altogether.
So I want to hear their stories. You guys need to hear their stories. That's what's important, is that the spotlight is maintained on this story so we don't just shove it to the side. And then next time there is some sort of pandemic or emergency health issue, because it can be anything that the director claims is a pandemic, or I'm sorry, an epidemic. This thing can be used. There is no epidemic or pandemic happening right now.
No.
But yet it is still being used. That's why we argue it's unconstitutional.
We're back to flu season.
So to put a capper on that, we're still in the fight. We haven't given up. We plan on doing this a little bit more, where we're talking about some current events and some topics happening regionally, statewide, and nationally. If you guys have any ideas of stuff you want us to talk about or cover, shoot us a comment. Be sure to subscribe on any platform. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Apple.
Anyway, nothing's off limits.
Everything's on the table. Nothing is off limits. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Murphy's Law DCast. You can go to our website, murphyslawdcast.com. What am I forgetting? Go to the Iron Pig. Have some delicious barbecue.
That's what you're forgetting. Yeah, another shameless plug.
Karaoke
night.
That'll be it for now, my man. Thanks for hanging out.
My pleasure, as always.
Down here in the studio, my brother. I appreciate it. We appreciate you always tuning in.
Our tens and tens of followers.
Thank you, as always. We appreciate you. Dick one, dick two. Peace out.